Do you ever make excuses to God for not doing what he wants you to do? You know, in our minds, we can justify about anything we do. We can think that we have a pretty good reason, a pretty good logical reason for not doing what he wants us to do. But we're just making excuses. And if we compare our excuses to what God asks us to do, and what God has promised to give us when we are obedient to him, it's pretty silly that we spend the time making up excuses. In this lesson, I want us to look at some excuses of Moses. So I invite you to open your Bible to Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read from chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse 16. Then we're going to make some observations. And hopefully, when we look at these excuses that Moses made, we can learn some lessons for ourselves. So Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, "The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you, and have seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, 'The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now, please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.' But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians." Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." Then he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. "And that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Furthermore, the Lord said to him, "Now put out your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, it was as leprous like snow. And he said, "Put your hand in again." So he put his hand in again and drew it out, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that ye shall take water from the river, pour it on the dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. But he said, O my Lord, please send me by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. When you just read that and you don't know how great the man Moses was when you read the whole story, he just sounds like a whiner. God, I can't do this. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? And we see that God was not pleased with Moses' discussion. And God had an answer for every point that Moses brought up. At the burning bush, the call of God came to Moses, clear and distinct. And when God gave him the command, what he was to do, God is clear and plain with everything that he wants us to do. We often can read what God says, and then we stop and think of a list of excuses why we can't do this. Well, I can't go here and do this. I can't do that. And sometimes our Lord's greatest difficulty with his servants is to get us to believe in him that he is able to do what he sets out to accomplish. Sometimes it's that the problem isn't with the people out in the world. Sometimes the problem is with us because our faith isn't what it should be. That God is powerful enough to bring about whatever his will is, to do his good pleasure. So Moses offers several excuses for not obeying. He starts off with his own personal unworthiness. Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go? You know, this shows a change from Moses. You think back from when he was in Egypt, and when he was in Egypt, he was basically, he had control over everything. Being in Pharaoh's house, where Pharaoh's daughter raised him, he had all the education, the riches, the position. Anything that he wanted, he could have. And then when he saw one of his fellow brothers being mistreated, and he killed the Egyptian and fled, then you see a change in his in the image of himself. So he's gone from being at the top of Egypt to being someone on the run that goes out into the wilderness, and he spends 40 years in the wilderness being a shepherd, away from everybody else. And he says, Who am I? Who am I that I should go and lead your people? If we as Christian workers value the importance of the work that we are to do, we are also going to see, on one hand, that we are unfit to do it, God, why do you want me to go and tell this sinner what he needs to do when I am a sinner? Moses, you see this humility that had come into Moses. Who am I? But then again, we realize again that it's not us. It's not about us. It's about them. And we get our focus off of what God's plan is. We are just the vessel. But we get caught up in our pride, in our ego. We've got to look a certain way, talk a certain way, do certain things. God didn't worry about that. He just said, go. I want you to go. Certainly I will be with you, just as if God was saying to him, you say, who am I? It's not, but it is not who are you, but who am I? I am with you. And when we stop and think that God is with us, the great I am, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, when that God is with us, we can do anything. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, that all power is given unto me. Then what does he say? He says, go. Go. We have the authority to go from Christ. We have the power of Christ when we submit to him. And when he says go, we are to go. What is one of the secrets of working for God? We've got to remember that God has sent me. His word is in me. His presence is with me. And he is almighty. And then I make excuses about why I can't do one thing or another. So he makes the excuse of his own personal unworthiness. God, you don't want me. You don't want me. You want somebody else. Then he turns and uses the excuse of the disbelief of the people. He says, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. Chapter 4 and verse 1. They'll not listen to me, to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Moses, you're crazy. God didn't appear to you. They aren't going to believe me, Lord. And he seems to have forgotten what we often forget, that God had taken into account the natural reluctance and hardness of the human heart. God understands. God is 10 steps ahead of us all the way. They will not hearken unto you, but if you are filled with the word, they will be compelled to hearken to the word of God. It's not me that the world needs. It's the word of God. It's not me that this dark, ugly world needs. It's the word of God. And we've got to not think about ourselves and just share the word with people. It's not me that this dark world needs. It's the light that is in me. And if I don't have the light that is in me, then I need to start and work on that. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, the power of the Spirit, it's good for nothing. And he said that we are the light of the world. The light of the world. You don't take a candle and put it under a bushel so that nobody can see. You set it on a hill so the whole world can see. So Moses, he feels inadequate. He's making excuses. So then God gives him a threefold assurance in the rod, the hand, and the water. So first he turns the rod into the serpent. You know, he throws down the rod, it turns into the serpent. And then what does he tell him to do to pick it up? How does he pick it up? I don't even like to get close enough to a snake to pick it up at all. But if I had to pick it up, I would pick it up right behind its head. I wouldn't pick it up by its tail. You pick it up by its tail, it can just swing up and bite you. But he picks it up by the tail, and what happens? it turns into a rod again. God's with him. God's with him. And this shows the power, the overcoming power, by bringing judgment on those that's going to oppose him. The Egyptians are going to oppose him, but God is going to overpower them. The leprous hand was healed. He was able to heal the withered, leprous Israel. And, you know, Nat mentioned this to me after services this morning when we were talking and with Abraham. And Abraham knew that his people, before he had people, were going to be in captivity for 400 years. And Abraham had faith that God was going to deliver them out. And again, going back to our Wednesday evening class on the history, when we come start in Genesis and we get up to the character Abraham, the rest of the Bible deals with the fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham. And God is going to have his people in captivity, slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And then God's might, his power, is going to deliver them. The water turned into blood. This shows transforming power. When Moses took the water and put it on the land and it changed into blood, how did it do that? It changed, it was transformed by the power of God. God's power can change and transform hearts of people. It can transform the hearts of us that he is sending. All of these things that God showed to Moses to remind Moses of who he was and to stop making excuses should remind us today that it's still the same God today. God can still perform anything that he wants to show his power to overcome, his power to restore, his power to transform. And how is that power manifested? It's manifested in the gospel. In the gospel that we take out and share with others. Just like when people are physically healed of diseases, they are spiritually healed by the gospel. A person's life is transformed physically. A person's life is transformed spiritually. But it's not going to happen if we, like Moses, are making excuses. And I'm not just talking about going out and evangelizing and saving people. I'm talking about any and everything in our life where God wants us to be his instrument and we just start making excuses. We make excuses. The next excuse he gets to is the weakness of his body. And most of us here would use that excuse. I'm not what I used to be. But he's not talking about his physical ability, because we know that when he died, he was still a strong man in very good condition. But in chapter 4 and verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So he's using the weakness of his body, saying, "I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good speaker." And this verse always sticks in my mind when I hear people talking about preachers or looking for a preacher, talking about preachers, and, "Oh, that's a really good preacher." "Well, what do you mean he's a really good preacher?" "Oh, he's a really good speaker. He's really eloquent. He's a showman. He just gets the word across so well. He's an entertainer. He went not just to this college, but he went to this college and this college and this college." Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent." See, the standard that some people have today, they must have had back then too. You don't have to be eloquent to share God's word. And I don't want to say I'm afraid, but I have seen in my mind that we have in the church tried to push a certain look over the truth. And friends, we need to start with ourselves. We need to love the truth no matter who we hear it from. We need to teach our children, our grandchildren, to love the truth no matter who we hear it from. If somebody gets up and they, I heard somebody talk about seeing somebody that had, I forget what they called it, basketball teeth. They were down to the final four. You know, someone that's a public speaker, you wouldn't think of them being up in front of a large crowd, or somebody that stutters, or they look disheveled, they stammer, they lose their train of thought. Friends, if they lose their train of thought and they come back and they tell us the truth, we need to take it to heart. But we've gotten away from that because we want to listen to somebody that's really polished and somebody that sounds impressive. So Moses is using this excuse. So what does God say to Moses? He says, so the Lord said to him, when Moses is talking about his mouth, basically saying, I'm not eloquent, I don't have a good mouth, God said, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. Moses just keeps coming up with excuses, and God says, you're complaining about your mouth, you go, I'm going to be your mouth. But he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Again, we need not to focus on the form of what is said, but on the substance. And Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that preacher that I was describing a little bit ago, it's like some people want someone that's like a motivational speaker. A motivational speaker to get up in front and get everybody stirred up to go and do whatever. Sometimes just stirred up to put money in the plate and feel good and come back next week. But friends, that's not going to save their souls, and that's not going to deliver God's message. And again, Paul said, my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. You don't want to put your faith in some man, in some preacher, in somebody that tells you something. You want to put your faith in God's word. You want to be able to open the Bible, put your finger on the verse, and be able to read it. So, his first excuse, his own personal unworthiness. I'm not up for the job, God. Then he says, the people will not believe me. Then he says, I have the weakness of my body. I'm not a good speaker. And then he comes up with the excuse of the unwillingness of his mind, where he says, again in verse 13, but he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Moses is basically saying, send, Lord, send anybody else, just don't send me. And this kind of shows how timid Moses is. And you see, Moses, again, he's like testing God, not in a good way. He's testing the patience of God. And this, as we would say, broke the straw. This was the final thing. So how does God answer Moses then in verse 14? So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You stop and think about this. God, the I Am, that created everything, he comes and he picks Moses to go and deliver the people, one of the greatest honors that he could have. And Moses is giving God every excuse of why he can't do it. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Moses was just full of excuses, but that did not stop God from carrying out his plan. And just stop and think of the plans that God has, the plans that we know about that were revealed. Which of God's plans did not come to pass? None of them. God didn't let people's excuses, God didn't say, well, okay, Moses, I'll leave the Israelites in Egypt and forget that promise I made to Abraham. And you see, God became angry because Moses thought he wasn't up to the job. And something I wonder about, and I can't find where we would know the answer to this, but when God talks about Aaron, he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he's also coming out to meet you. So God appeared to Moses at the burning bush in the wilderness. We don't know if this is just Aaron coming out from Egypt now. It doesn't say if Aaron, I don't believe that Aaron left with Moses when he fled, but you see the timing of this. The timing of this. You see God's timing in everything. Just like when Abraham was getting ready to offer Isaac and an angel stopped his hand and he said, look, there's a ram in the thicket over there. The timing. You think about the timing of Jonah and that great fish. If that fish had been a little bit early, a little bit late, we wouldn't have the story of Jonah and Nineveh repenting. And here, Aaron just happens to be coming along. Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Is this some miracle that God worked? I don't think so. We just see the providence of God. We can't understand the things that God does, but we can recognize it. And here is we see the providence of God. This is Moses' last excuse. And what's he going to say? Well, no, God, I don't want my brother to go and talk for me. Verse 15, now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So God has plans. He had a plan for Moses. He's got a plan for every one of us. I don't know what the plans are he has for you. I'm trying to figure out what the plans are he has for me. And whatever God has out there for us, we just need to stop making excuses. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take his rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs. So again, we see that the unwillingness of Moses does not turn God aside from his purpose. If one instrument seems unfit, he'll select another. Here, Moses thought that he was unfit. God didn't let him off the hook, but God provided his brother Aaron to go along with him also. And you stop and think, if Moses had said, "Sure, Lord, I'll be glad to go," the honor would have gone to Moses, which he would have given to God. But instead, now it is shared with his brother Aaron. So then I have to ask myself, this is the hard part of the lesson. I have to ask myself, and you have to ask yourself, is there something that you know that you should be doing that you're not, that you're making excuses to God why you aren't doing them? It's the same God that created heaven and earth, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God that we're going to stand before in judgment. And when we stand at the judgment, what are we going to say to him? We're going to say, "I just wasn't worthy to do what you wanted me to do. You know, the people wouldn't believe me. My body just, don't have the words to tell people what to do. My mind just isn't something that is willing to do this." What are the excuses? Whatever the excuses are, friends, we need to learn to move ahead, set the excuses aside. Sometimes it's scary, but we move ahead. And you think about Moses, and this starts another phase of his life where he was 40 years in Egypt and then 40 years in the wilderness. Now he's going to return to Egypt to deliver God's people and spend 40 years in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. And Moses is held up as one of the greatest men of the Old Testament. He's held up as an example for us. He's held up as a type of Christ for us to learn from. I hope, again, that we can look at our lives and what we have before us this week, and whatever excuses we are making for not doing things, we can let Moses be an example for us, and that we will get about doing the Lord's work. If there's anyone here this evening that needs prayers, you need to respond to the gospel invitation in some way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
There holds no treasure.